Our sermon here this morning is from your gospel reading from Matthew chapter 11. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may this time be times spoken of you and what you have done for us. May we learn, may we open our hearts to what you have done and what the hope that springs forth from that, what it means for our lives. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So you ever wonder what to get that person who has everything, or you're wondering, okay, you know, you flip through and a couple of times you get to certain things and you're saying, you know what, this is a perfect gift for them. And sometimes you wonder, is that gift good enough, or is that gift something they will read? You ever get one? You have one of those gifts and you don't know how they're going to receive it? You ever give one of those gifts? I'm just wondering, because, you know, you can look on Amazon, and there's really a lot of self-help books out there. So you give it to somebody, and they're like, what are you saying? All right, but there's so many self-help books, and I've yet to find the one that is a self-help book for pastors who have an affinity for chocolate. And I have not found that out yet, so I'm still looking for that. But there's self-help books, and man, I've got a couple shelves dedicated to these kind of books, and a lot of them are really good, but interesting, there's also a self-help book about self-help books. Which is interesting, why Americans keep reading them. And so you can go on Amazon, and there's just loads and loads of them, of whatever you want to find out more about. It's on there. The Better Than Before You, Return to Love When Breath Becomes Air. Just some interesting titles out there. And you want to give it to somebody and say, okay, you know, this is a great read. Or a lot of times I'll read something and, man, I'll put it on my shelf and I'll try to remember the next time someone has that same kind of thought in their head. It's like, read this. It's like, they don't want to read that. They just tell you the short story behind that. But the book, it just helps me just dive in and sometimes gives me some things. Okay, if I'm at that stage or the next time I go through that, this is what I want to kind of remember. But Matthew chapter 11, interesting enough, is if you read this with me, all right? Now, when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? What self-help book do you get John the Baptist? He's in prison. All right, he's been preaching the word of God, all right? He's a guy who simplified his life to the very simple, and he basically went to the guy who rules everything and said, excuse me, sir, your life isn't as it should be. Welcome to my prison. All right, and so interesting enough is after time, and prisons weren't, you know, the palaces they are today. All right, this is a prison in which you barely get any food, sometimes no light whatsoever. All right, and so you're in the worst conditions, and you can just imagine what it would have been like to be in there, to be John, and no self-help book is going to help you out. Nothing. And so John the Baptist is there. He's there because he's been doing what God told him to do. And quite literally, you can kind of see his mental state just kind of wearing away to the point where he just has questions. And so he sends some of his disciples to Jesus. And interesting enough, are you the... Do you notice something curious? Did you guys pick up on that? John the Baptist isn't saying, do you have a philosophy in order to better my life? Do you have some advice that we would get through? Are you the one? Interesting of
what they said there. They're not looking for anybody else of the Messiah, the one who is promised, who would come to take away their sins, the only one in history that could do that, and they were promised for thousands of years that this guy would come. John the Baptist is saying, are you that one guy? The one guy, are you the one? Or should we look for another? And interesting enough is that's all over the place in Scripture. Look at when Jesus comes and starts calling the disciples. All right, let's read this together. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one whom Moses wrote about in the book of the law and whom the prophets also wrote about. He is Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. We have found the, not a philosophy, not a three steps to get a new you. We have found the one. We have found the one who has been promised. And so interesting enough, if you go back to Deuteronomy, this is what Deuteronomy is saying from Deuteronomy 18 and 19. I will send them a prophet like you, from among their own people. I will tell them what to say, and he will tell the people everything I command. He will speak in my name. The one, the prophet who is to come, the one who has promised, and promised for thousands of years, and he was finally there. And interesting enough is, you look in Luke chapter 1, and it was when Mary comes to visit Elizabeth, and they're both pregnant. And here's where we get that Lutheran view that faith can come at any point in time. And you see, for behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. This is John the Baptist before he was born, leaping for joy for hearing of the coming of the Messiah. Before he was even born, he's leaping. He's got great joy for Jesus being around. And interesting enough is, during the last probably week of his life, he gets into a state in which I'm cold, tired. My body is just worn out. Mentally, I don't know if I had the capacity to go through. I just want to know from you, Jesus, are you really the one? Because I am. I've got this great faith, and yet I just need this assurance. I need someone or something to strengthen me right now, because I'm at a low and a low and a low of lows. Jesus, would you send me word? Because I just need some hope right now. I just need some hope. And interesting, what does Jesus say? Okay, you spent some time with me. Go and tell John what you have seen. Illnesses wiped off. Lame. People who can't walk. They're getting up and they're leaping up and they're going and they're running. And the dead are raised. Jesus is saying, okay, John, you know everything from the Old Testament. And I'm here. I'm the one who's been promised. You can have faith in that. You can have hope that what you really seek. Because back in my mind, I think John knew that the time was about to come. John the Baptist knew that his time on earth was a lot shorter. Jesus, I just want to know where I'm going. I just want to know that you'll be there when I get there. And so interesting enough is that's sometimes what we get into. Christmas is the happiest time of the year. I mean, literally the happiest time of the year. The music, sorry, this is the best music of the entire year. And you hear it for 1 month. You hear it for 1 month, and it's the most beautiful thing. And you could literally just listen to it all the whole entire year, except if you don't have snow, you don't have it, right? Because that's Christmas. Come on, guys. That's why I came back up north.
They don't have that down south. They have that yellow grass that has no hope whatsoever, but it's Christmas, and the white Christmas is kind of like that. It's a thing that you remember from your childhood and what you grew up and things that formed you. And if you don't have it there and you just start to get into this, what's Christmas all about anymore? Well, hurry up 25th, then we can get back to our real lives and just start to wonder and you kind of get that sense of what is really going on. And interesting enough is they're asking Jesus, well, who is this John the Baptist guy? He had some great faith. What's he now? He's reduced to someone who's really, no. Jesus is saying, this John the Baptist who proclaimed me with great fervor, he's one of the greatest prophets. One of the greatest prophets. So it's not someone whose faith is going like this. He stands firm, and yet he wants to know, and he wants assurance. And Jesus is not speaking this because I'm all powerful. And he's saying, I as a meek person, as someone who came as a baby at Christmas, who needed his diaper changed, who needed to be burped, all those things. That's your great king? Yeah, that's our great king. Who would come from a throne in heaven in order to be hungry, to be thirsty, to be tired and weary. A guy who would, at the end of his life, would kneel down and say, Father, if this were possible, may this cup pass from me, but not my will, but be done. A guy who needed and knew about, I just need the strength to get by through this day, through this week, through this month, through this year. And so we have a guy that doesn't stand far back, but knows exactly what we're going through because he went through it himself. He went through it himself. And so we have a God that we can rely on and say, God, I just need you to be there. And it's interesting, this is sometimes going through the mud and the muck is difficult, but looking back, you can see different ways in which God was there reassuring us through different things. Sometimes it's a letter, sometimes it's just something someone did. Sometimes, you know, you get that sense. God is not standing far off. He's standing with me through everything. He is literally leading me by the hand. And so I wanted to also unpack this. You see that second sentence? Can we read that together? Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That needs some unpacking, isn't it? Because once again, we have, yet the... Jesus is talking about himself. Remember, he says the least. If you want to become great, you have to become the least. How about the least of the least, where you have the power to arrange subatomic particles in order to create, by the power of just a word, a mass of energy that can power a solar system and yet keep it all in balance. And yet, even though you are that guy, you come to Earth for one mission and one mission only, to give your life because your children have turned away from you. And you will be taken away by your own relatives, your own people, to be nailed on the cross because you are the one who can take away their sins. You are the Lamb of God. You are the one who would lead a sinless life, and at the very end, everyone would run away from you. And yet you did that because in order for them who rejected you, in order for the ones who were looking for hope, in order for the ones who would say, Jesus, I don't understand when you're coming back, to give them hope for things to come. Because Jesus is the one and only in this lifetime that we preach from this place and this word. Everything in the scripture is about a Jesus who would come to give you hope in his word,
that through faith in him, that even though we just wonder, Jesus, when, if, still standing beside you each and every day to give you hope for what is to come. Because he is the one that says to you, your sins are all forgiven. Go in peace. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, on this day in which, Lord God, it seems like the month of December, Lord, is too long, and it seems like there is great darkness over the world. Help us in this day, remind us that Scripture says that you are the light that shines in the darkness. Lord, help us understand that, Lord God, you have come to give your life. What an amazing, beautiful thing that you would consider yourself lower than everyone else to come and serve us, to wash our feet, to raise the dead, to look into our eyes and say, go and sin no more. Lord God, what an amazing thing you have done. Help us each and every day as a congregation to understand that we want to be your hands and feet to a world that sometimes doesn't understand what hope is. To be mirrors that reflect your light. Because we are not the light. You are our one and true light. In your son's name we pray. Amen.